Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Before beginning today's study, I'd like to invite you to a special series of lessons being presented at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix. That's about a mile from the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, located on the west side of 40th Street, in between McDowell Road and Thomas Road. On November the 6th, we'll begin a gospel meeting at this place, and we'll continue with services every day through November the 11th. Brother Ricky Jenkins from Dallas, Texas, will be our guest speaker. He's a very talented speaker, very interesting, and I know that each of us that take the opportunity to attend will be richly blessed. On Sunday, Ricky will be speaking on the power of the resurrection. On Monday, is life fair? On Tuesday, first things first. On Wednesday, ordinary people. On Thursday, surviving in times of crisis. And on Friday night, the meeting will close with a lesson on spiritual fervency. We invite you to come. Several years ago, we changed the time of our Sunday services during the annual gospel meeting. We moved those services to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was done specifically so that those of you who attend other churches on Sunday morning could still have opportunity to come and worship with us. That 2 o'clock meeting on Sunday, November the 6th, will begin with a Bible study class and be followed by a lesson led by Brother Jenkins that will be with us this week. I hope that you can come. We always seem to get to meet people that we haven't met before, see old friends during that week, and it's just a spiritual high. It leaves us perhaps physically drained and tired after it's over, but spiritually refreshed, and of course, that's what's most important in the life of a Christian. I'd like to today share with you some thoughts concerning the question, can a Christian participate in social drinking without sinning? To set the seriousness of this lesson, let me refer you to a passage in Isaiah the 59th chapter in verse 2, which tells us that sin separates one from God. What's the consequence of being separated from God? Well, in Matthew 7 and verse 23, we see that one is separated from God will be rejected in the day of judgment. Certainly then, our eternal destiny, where we're going to spend eternity, is determined by the choices that we make in this life and whether or not those choices, because of their sinfulness, separate us from God. In addition to that, a Christian who continues in any sinful activity is a candidate for church discipline, the kind of discipline that's outlined in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. Continual willful violation of the Word of God is just simply not permitted by the Heavenly Father in the fellowship of Christ's body. Before proving from the Scriptures that social drinking of alcoholic beverages is sinful, please be aware of the topics that we're not talking about in this program. We're not talking about the chemical makeup of wine and the differences between wine in the first century and wine in 2011. We might study about that, but that's not our focus in this lesson. When you read those that make comment on religious themes, commentators, you'll see that page after page is written defining Greek and Hebrew words which supposedly prove that some wine in Bible days was fermented and some wine was not fermented. Many of those writers enter the subject, it seems to me, with a preconceived agenda, looking to prove a point rather than looking to establish a belief. While word studies of that type may, to some people, be interesting, they're interesting to me, they're not the point on which God's purpose and law can be established. It's true to say that anything that God expects us to do or not to do that would affect our eternal disposition is clearly revealed in His Word. The Word of God is a revealing. It is not a concealing. The second thing that we're not talking about in this lesson, that we're not establishing what was approved or condemned under the law of Moses. Proving that some activity was participated in during the law of Moses doesn't authorize it under the law of Christ or the New Testament. Certainly, there are many passages in Proverbs and other Old Testament books that clearly show the effect of drunkenness. And we know from Romans the 15th chapter and verse 4 and 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 that there is a value to studying the Old Testament even though we are not living under that law. In fact, Galatians 3 and verse 24 identifies the Old Testament as a tutor which leads us to Christ. The old law, according to many places like Ephesians 2 and verse 15 and Colossians 2 and verse 14, Hebrews 8 verse 6 and 7 and Romans 7 and verse 6 is not the law which you and I are under. We are not held responsible by God for following that old law. A third thing that we're not talking about in this lesson, we're not talking about what local customs are in some faraway nation. Whether the water supply in some European or Asian or African country is so unfit so as to make wine an acceptable drink of the day is not our topic. We might address that topic, but that's not our topic today. We're also not talking about whether or not any beverage is intrinsically sinful. I'm not going to present in this radio show, though I have this information available. Certainly I have it in my office. We're not going to present testimony from medical people, from the medical profession concerning the addictive nature of alcoholic beverage. I'm not going to present before you today statistics of highway deaths that can be attributed to drunk driving. I'm not going to present before you today witnesses from insurance companies that have undeniable statistics as to the detrimental effect of alcoholic consumption on the economy or in the nation as a whole. I'm not today going to present to you testimony from social agency that describe the role that alcohol has in abusive families and the breaking up of marriages and homes. I'm not going to present figures from law enforcement agencies proving the connection between alcohol consumption and incarceration. That's not our focus today, even though those facts are certainly important. They're certainly can be instrumental in our deciding what to do and what not to do, what is wise to do and what is unwise to do. We're not going to focus on those facts today. We're also not talking about taking medicine with an alcoholic content. We're not talking about what is in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23, where Timothy is told to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. I understand that many medications have an alcoholic content, but when was the last time that you went to a social function and drank a Robitussin DM on the rocks? See, that's just not our topic today. Certainly, those topics can be addressed privately if you'd like. But today's lesson is going to be simple. I affirm before you today that good and gracious God that we love, adore, and worship never holds us accountable for anything that's hard to understand. Those biblical commands, those approved examples that we find in the Bible, those authorized things shown by necessary inference, those things upon which our eternal destiny depends are easily understood by everyone that's accountable to them. Because of that, when you and I stand before Jesus Christ in judgment to give an answer, we cannot plead ignorance or non-understanding. It just simply is not a defense that will determine our future. The following scriptures that I'm going to give you make social drinking in our day and our time and our society patently sinful. I hope that you'll note these scriptures and that you'll study them, that you'll open up your Bible to make sure that I am not misusing these scriptures, that I'm not trying to prove a preconceived idea, but that I have gone to the Bible and will show scriptures that have to do with answering the question, is social drinking sinful? First, I'd like to start with 1 John 2 and verse 15. There the Bible reads, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world." My friend, that's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an example. It's a commandment of God. While things of the world may change over the years, they're never hard to identify during one's own lifetime. Many years ago, women who wore red dresses were looked on as immoral people. Well, we don't think that way today. That was in a certain time period, and the people that lived in that time period didn't have any trouble in understanding that fact. When a woman would dress in a certain way during that time period, it related certain ideas to those that she came in contact with, those that saw her. Well, today there's no such belief as a woman in a red dress is immoral. Things of the world today are things like drinking alcoholic beverages, like smoking, like taking drugs, like participating in pornography and foul language. Those today, in 2011, are things of the world. And we could go on. Certainly that list is not inclusive. We could go on and mention other things that are things of the world. A Christian will not participate in those kinds of activities. If a Christian does participate in those activities, sin occurs and separation from God is result. Why is that? Because of 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. A Christian who denies that drinking alcoholic beverages is a thing of the world is either dishonest or foolish. Well, a second passage of Scripture that I'd like for you to think about is James 1 and verse 27. There the Bible reads, "Keep oneself unstained by the world." Social drinking is of the world. Participation in social drinking makes a mark that identifies one with the world and not with the spiritual realm of Christianity. A third passage of Scripture that I'd like to bring to your attention is Ephesians 5 and verse 11. There the Bible reads, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Well, what fruit for the Lord does social drinking bring? Those who participate in social drinking will not be able to teach someone who's a drunkard that drinking is sinful, will they? How could they teach that something is sinful that they participate in, even to a lesser degree? When in Bible class, a student asks a question relative to drinking alcohol, whether mixed drinks or beer or wine is sinful, how will the teacher that participates in social drinking answer that question? When at the cocktail parties, is it harder or easier to expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness? The answer is obvious to that question. Now I'd like to suggest to you that Romans 12 and verse 2 comes into play. There we read, "Do not be conformed to this world." If you're a social drinker, you are conformed to the world. Let me ask those of you who believe and teach that social drinking is right a question. When you have someone over to your house after worship services, do you offer them a cold Budweiser? How about when you have Christians over for dinner at your house, do you offer them wine with their dinner? When you go with Christian brethren to the local cafe to have coffee after services, do you order a Miller Lite? When you hike or play softball or golf or any other hobby with a brother or sister in Christ, do you prearrange who's going to bring the beer? What about that? How would you answer those? Well, when you answer those, turn around and reread Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. There's a parallel there, isn't there? The connection in those passages. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, the Bible reads, "Keep thyself pure." Let's say, for the sake of illustration, that I'm in a tennis match, and I miss a couple of shots that I should have made, and I react to that by throwing my racket and shouting obscenities. Someone in the area hears this, and they know that I'm a Christian, and they come up and they say, "What are you doing? Why are you talking like that? Why would you think like that? Why would you act like that?" And I look at them and I say, "Well, I did that because I'm keeping myself pure." Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? But it's no more ridiculous than being cited at a cocktail party, a restaurant, or a local pub, or a ball game, or in your own backyard having a beer and explaining, I'm keeping myself pure. There isn't anything pure about that, is there? It's worldly. Now, if you would, consider with me Colossians 3 and verse 1. There the Bible reads, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." When you as a Christian seek things above, you don't spend time trying to justify things below, do you? Such as social drinking. Seeking things above is a lifestyle that results in letting your light shine. How many times during a cocktail party do you have opportunity to ask for a Bible study? How many times in the atmosphere that you're in is it conducive for asking someone to visit worship services with you if you're holding a martini in your hand? When you're participating in social drinking and stumble upon a fellow member of the congregation where you worship, are you happy to see them, or do you hide from them and search for a mint, a breath mint, to conceal what you've been doing? Well, we know the answer to those things, don't we? And the answer is that social drinking is wrong. Now I'd like for you to consider, if you would, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 and 22. The Bible reads, "Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the very appearance of evil." Let's say, for the sake of argument, that drinking alcohol is not sinful. But what does it look like? Does it have an appearance of evil? Are there warnings issued even by the manufacturers of those drinks to be careful how much you consume? There's the question. Is the appearance of social drinking good, or is it evil? Well, those scriptures that we've just enumerated give us the answer to our question, don't they? When you study those scriptures. When you go and you study John, 1 John 2 and verse 15, and you study James 1 and verse 27, and Ephesians 5 and verse 11, when you read and take into your heart Romans 12 and verse 2, and 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, Colossians 3 and verse 1, when you read those to understand, along with 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, you get the clear answer to the question that we're studying in our program this morning. Those scriptures are violated when one participates in social drinking. Any of them will separate you from God when they're violated. Any of them, when they're violated and not repented of, will cost a person his soul. How important is your soul? One more subject, I think, related to the question that we're studying today, and that is, what is your goal as a member of Christ's church? What is your goal as a member of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Are you interested in participating in the public worship assembly if you're a man? Is that your goal? Are you interested in teaching a Bible class? There's certainly opportunities for Christian men and women to teach Bible classes at the congregations where they worship. Are you preparing yourself to be a deacon of the church, to be a preacher of the gospel, or to be an elder of the church? Do you want to conduct personal Bible studies with people? What's your goal as a Christian? Certainly those who participate in activities like we've been talking about have great influence on other Christians. I remember vividly the instruction received from my Bible class teachers, especially those that taught me when I was in high school and college. I remember the song leaders and those who gave talks, little sermonettes on Wednesday night. Those were the people that I looked up to. Those were the people that set before me an example of a Christian. They were influential in my life. I also remember a few of the classmates that wanted to drink socially, that wanted to go and have a beer. I avoided them, but not everybody avoided them. Some of my good friends that I grew up with as Christians did not avoid them and went and had their beer parties out in the desert. There were some new Christians that were among that group that went along with those that drank, and they saw the drinking, and they just went along for the ride. Well, I'm here to tell you that not a single one of those in my memory is still faithful to the Lord. What a terrible thing to influence a new Christian in such a way. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 13 that he would never even eat meat for as long as he lived if it would cause a weak brother to sin. I'm not an elder of the Church of Christ. I don't plan to be. And I don't make decisions for the church. But if I did, nobody that drank alcoholic beverages would ever be used in any way in a public assembly. Neither would anybody that publicly professed that those sinful deeds are approved of God be used in a public assembly. They would be taught, they would be counseled, they would be encouraged to repent of their sinful ways. People who live such worldly lives bring shame and reproach upon the Lord's church. They make it harder for the faithful to teach the untaught. As you go about living your life, consider carefully those things that you do and make sure that they reflect the image that you want to reflect. We're told in the Bible to let our light shine. That certainly is clear information regarding the importance of our influence. I pray that your influence is what the Lord would want it to be. Well, at the close of our show today, let me reiterate that we're having a special week-long series of gospel meetings, of studying the gospel. That begins November the 6th and continues through November the 11th. Begins on a Sunday and ends on a Friday night. If you'd like more information on that gospel meeting, give us a call. We'd be happy to answer any of your questions. We'd be happy to provide you transportation if that's your need. Thank you for listening, and may you have a good week. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.